going on? This is the Noah Gillian Show, and I, of course, am your host, Noah Gillian. So happy you decided to join in today. It is the 29th of November, 2022, and on today's episode, we are going to be going over the Eagles and Packers game from Sunday Night Football before discussing the overall playoff picture as a whole in the NFL. Before we get into the show, however, please hit that subscribe button if you're joining us on YouTube. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please like, follow, drop a review on there. Would really mean a lot for the show. Also, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram. You can find the show's account in the little bubble on here for YouTube. You can find all of that stuff in the description below for Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So definitely make sure to go and give us a follow on social media. But without further ado, let's just get right into it. All right, the Eagles took on the Green Bay Packers in a football game on Sunday night, obviously. And it was a monster game. It was one of the craziest games of the weekend. Ended up being a final score of 40-33 with the Eagles coming away with the win, just like they have nine other times this year. Just a ridiculous game. They went up big time early. I thought it was going to be a runaway game. Packers ended up coming back to take the lead, and they were going back and forth into the, and then the Eagles took the lead going into halftime. And then even after the Eagles kind of pulled away a little bit in the second half, the Packers made it a close game at the end. It made it a one possession game. So the entire game was really, really interesting to watch. Even just from a neutral perspective, it was very, very entertaining. A lot of offense, some big defensive plays as well. So it had a little bit of something for everything. But there was some major storylines that came out of this game. And we'll start off with none other than Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts rushed for over 100 yards in the first quarter, which is absolutely ridiculous. And he ended up finishing with a franchise record 157 yards rushing from the quarterback position. That is a franchise record, as I said, at the quarterback position, breaking Michael Vick's standing record ever since he was here. Obviously, a team with Randall Cunningham and Donovan McNabb at, well, the quarterback position. You know, that's a pretty big feat for Jalen Hurts, and he absolutely dominated. He had 100 yards, like I said, in the first quarter, and it seemed like the Packers were playing a ton of man coverage in the game, and they just totally didn't account for Jalen Hurts, or they only allocated one spy to Jalen Hurts. And when you do that one-on-one in the open field, I'll take Jalen Hurts over pretty much any defender in the league, any linebacker in the league. So Jalen Hurts had a phenomenal game with his arm. He's also the first quarterback in NFL history to have 125 passing yards and 125 rushing yards in the first half, or it might be in any half in NFL history. So just an absolutely outstanding game from Jalen. And that's what's really going to separate the Eagles. The thing with Hurts is, like, yeah, you want him to be a passer and really be able to distribute the football. But the thing that makes Jalen Hurts special is his ability to run the football. And he did that extremely well. I put out a tweet on this, right after the first, or after the first drive. They came out and they started throwing, which was a little questionable, especially against the Packers defense, which ranked 29th in DVOA, which is how they measure defensive success over average. So not very good. There's only 32 teams in the league and they're 29th in that category. So I thought it would be a lot better rushing the ball, especially after last week when, you know, they kind of got stymied. You want to get back to the running game. But two straight throws, two straight incompletions, you're looking at 3rd and 10. They drop back to pass again. Defense breaks down. Hurts has a one-on-one with a linebacker. He breaks to run. Had a one-on-one with a linebacker. Breaks one guy down. Breaks another guy down. Runs for 20 yards, and the drive keeps going. Does that later again on the drive after he realizes he's going to have some numbers in the box. So he takes off, runs for another 20 yards, and that's what makes the offense so dangerous. And that's why the Eagles are 10-1. Like that needs to be a focal point. They kind of got back to that with Indianapolis. They were kind of struggling with that against the Commanders. I feel like he wasn't really taking advantage of that. Even some of the games before the Commanders games when they started to struggle a little bit with the offense and it kind of was getting stymied a little bit. You need to utilize that aspect of Jalen Hurts' game, and he did that in full force against the Packers. And what do you know? The offense looked great. We scored 40 points, and everything was clicking. Everyone had good games, and it all starts with number one. All starts with Jalen Hurts under center. Moving behind center now, we have Miles Sanders. He absolutely exploded in this game for 143 yards on 21 carries, which was a key number for him. Usually doesn't get over 20 carries, so the fact that he got 21 in this game, he absolutely delivered with 143 yards and two scores, both within the 5-yard line, or the one was outside the 10-yard line, so he broke a couple tackles, made his way in there. He's done a great job at breaking tackles this year. He's looked very explosive in a contract year, so I'll be interested to see how that looks in the offseason, but he absolutely looked great in this one. The Eagles team as a whole ran for 363 yards, which is absolutely ridiculous. I've been talking on this podcast for even last year and this year. When the Eagles hit 200 rushing yards, like, that is a great game. Like, that is a ridiculous game. Like, that is really, 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 really good. And they come out with 363 yards on the ground this year. Only six teams in the NFL have rushed for more yards in a game since 1975. Only six teams have ever rushed for more yards in a game than the Eagles did on Sunday night since 1975. And speaking of specifically Eagles record, that's the most rushing yards they've had in a game since 1948. We're talking about post-World War II NFL. That's the last time they ran for this many yards in a football game as the Philadelphia Eagles. So just an outstanding game on the ground. First and foremost, we got to give credit to the offensive line, a unit that's for the main part stayed healthy this year, knock on wood, has been playing absolutely just amazing football left to right. Jordan Mailata's been dominant. Landon Dickerson's been one of the best left guards in the league. Jason Kelce, best center in the league. Isaac Seumalo's been a very, very productive right guard. And then you have Lane Johnson, who's probably the best right tackle in the league. So you would have guys playing at the absolute peak of their powers. You have young guys who are going to continue to carry the torch. And then you have a guy in Jeff Stoutland, the offensive line coach and the run game coordinator, who is just absolutely hitting on all cylinders and is criminally underpaid for the job that he does, because he is one of the best in the league at getting guys ready to play, understanding their assignments, and really grooming guys to be the best versions of themselves. And I mean, it's easy when you got guys like Lane Johnson, who's the fourth overall pick in the draft, or, you know, you get certain guys, but then you get guys like Jason Kelce, a fifth round pick, Isaac Seumalo, a seventh round pick who never played football. He was a rugby player. But then you get guys like Lane Johnson, get fourth pick, and then you get guys like Landon Dickerson, who was the number two pick in the second round, who would have been a first round pick if not for a knee injury at Alabama. So just an absolutely dominant game from the offensive line, absolutely dominant game from their quarterback. Their running backs absolutely killed it as well. Through the air, Jalen had about only 153 passing yards and two TDs. Through a good percentage, though, 16 to 28, 153, like I said, two touchdowns. And then, you know, everyone kind of had pretty good games. Devontae was 4 for 50. A.J. Brown was 4 for 46 and a touchdown. Quez was 3 for 35 and a touchdown. So their three wide receivers got involved. Not really any tight ends involved in this game. But I think, you know, the running game was dominating on all cylinders, and the wide receivers were coming up clutch when they needed to. Quez Watkins caught a beautiful back shoulder ball on the pylon right at the first half, was expiring for a touchdown. A.J. Brown beat a guy right off the line when they were right on the goal line too for an easy out route. Devontae was just the chain mover in this game. Like, everything on offense was clicking, and everything on offense was doing the job. They had 29 first downs. They went 8 for 15 on third down, which was a great percentage. They went 2 for 3 on fourth down. They really made that happen, and they ran 79 plays as opposed to Green Bay's 49. So just overall, you know, a dominant offensive performance. They only had three penalties as well for 25 yards, so was a lot more buttoned up, a lot more accustomed to what we're seeing from the Eagles under Nick Sirianni. They've been really kind of getting undisciplined in their last couple games, so it was good to see them finally bounce back in a major way. And, you know, well, hopefully that continues next week with Tennessee. But as we kind of shift away from the offense, let's shift into the defense, because that is another reason why the Eagles are 10-1 on the year. They had two more interceptions to add to their league-leading 15 picks on the year. One by Josiah Scott after it bounced off Darius Slay's helmet, and then another by Reed Blankenship. Yes, Reed Blankenship, an undrafted free agent rookie who's only played a few snaps this year, but that brings us to our next point, was thrust into the starting lineup because of the injury to CJ Gardner-Johnson. Gardner Johnson is the NFL leader in interceptions this year, and he's going to miss some time. Unfortunately, he tried to lay a big hit on one of the Packers receivers in the first half, I believe it was, and actually ended up lacerating his kidney. You saw it. He hit somebody with his shoulder, and it didn't really seem like anything was wrong right away, but he just kind of like stood there and was just like really, really hurting, and then just kind of laid on the ground for a long time. And he's a tough guy too. He's not somebody who's just going to fall over just to fall over. I mean, this is a guy who hurt his hand against the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football, ended up getting it wrapped up, ended up coming back later in the game and getting an interception. So definitely an integral part to this defense, but Blankenship stepped up. Shout out to him in that game. It's going to be interesting to see if they just give Blankenship the rope, or if they, you know, I've seen this kind of thrown around on Twitter, if they maybe give Malcolm Jenkins a call. I don't know. He did say on a podcast with John Clark of NBC Sports Philadelphia that he's still in playing shape. He's still working out. You know, maybe if someone gave him a call in December or something, he would think about it. So I think Howie being aggressive as he's been all year, bringing in Ndamukong Suh, bringing in Linval Joseph, just making all the moves he has, I think he's going to give Malcolm a call and be like, hey, listen, do you want to come play for a month and, you know, hold down the fort until CJ gets back and, you know, maybe win another ring? I think Malcolm would be really interested in that. And I think, you know, as good a story as Reed Blankenship was last night and could continue to be throughout the year, you know, he's not Malcolm. And even Malcolm, who hasn't played all year, I think is still going to be could be a productive player. So that's kind of like a big what if, but I think that is an interesting point to bring up because it is something that could happen. You know, how Howie's been aggressive and how Howie's been very, very on top of things in terms of making the move early and getting after it. So overall, was a fantastic game. The Eagles also won the turnover differential in this game. Like I said, they had two interceptions. However, they did fumble once, and that fumble was credited to A.J. Brown. That is his second fumble in the last two games. Meanwhile, that fumble has come directly after a takeaway from the Eagles. So that is something that just absolutely cannot happen. A.J. Brown is one of the highest paid players on the team. He is our alpha wide receiver. He's one of the best players on our offense. It's really, really tough when one of your big guys is fumbling the ball like that, you know, and it's not like he gets jacked up or he gets hit like that. Like, he's kind of getting wrapped up and he's like fighting for extra yards and it just gets like poked out. It's like, that's where you got to really understand what's going on. Work on your ball security drills. I will give him a little bit of, you know, slack. He was really, really sick this weekend. He said he was throwing up, lost about 7 pounds over the weekend from Thanksgiving on the weekend. He popped a blood vessel in his eye, for God's sake, because he was throwing up so much and so aggressively. So I'll give him a little bit of slack. He wasn't playing at 100%, but that is going to be something that needs to be cleaned up as we move forward into the home stretch. So that was a crazy game for the Eagles. It was a big win Sunday of football against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. So an outstanding win to move their record to 10-1. Now let's why not preview the game coming up? We got the Tennessee Titans coming into town. It's going to be a 1 o'clock Eastern game. I think there's potential it may get flexed to Sunday Night Football, but I think they might just leave it there because they're going to want some primetime games maybe for the Eagles later in the year. So Titans coming up. They have obviously one of the best running backs in the league in Derrick Henry. And what have the Eagles been struggling with to stop over the last couple weeks? The run. This is kind of the pocket of the schedule where a few weeks ago, when everyone was talking, oh, when's the first Eagles loss going to come? You know, when are they going to go undefeated? And I knew they weren't going to go undefeated. We said that on this podcast. But the thing about it is we were kind of looking at this pocket of games being like, well, the Colts are well coached and they have a ridiculous running game in Jonathan Taylor. And this was right around when the Eagles were really struggling against the run and all of that. And, you know, we were looking at it with Jonathan Taylor. Then we had Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, and A.J. Dillon. Then we had Tennessee coming in with Derrick Henry. And this was the pocket of games where I kind of saw the loss coming. Ended up coming against the Commanders, and then we've, you know, gone on to beat the Colts and beat the Packers. But this game is going to be a very, very interesting game. The Titans, hey, what can I say? I have to take the L on this one. I thought the Titans were going to fall off a map this year after they traded away A.J. Brown. They lost a defensive lineman to a season-ending injury. Derrick Henry was coming off injury from last year. I just really didn't see the upside. They're really struggling. And they started the year 0-2. I was taking victory laps early in the season, and what do you know? Here they sit 7-4. So just outstanding coaching by Mike Vrabel. If it's close, if there's plays that are going to be decided by coaching, it's going to be Mike Vrabel making the right calls, usually 99% of the time. And it's going to be interesting. But it was interesting also to see the Bengals kind of push the Titans around a little bit in this one. They played the Bengals played the Titans this last week. They ended up winning that game 20-16. Derrick Henry rushed the ball like 18 times for like 28 yards or 38 yards or something like that. So really didn't get going. And it was really interesting to see them kind of get really, really physical with the Titans. I think that's something the Eagles can do. They should be getting Jordan Davis back to bolster that defensive line. So that is going to be very, very crucial for this game specifically. And as they kind of move on through the year, but this game specifically, one of the biggest things, especially in, when it comes to Derrick Henry, is stopping him before he gets going, stopping his feet before he gets north-south. And that's when you can really kind of bottle him up, as it's proved to be this in his career. But once he gets north-south, once he hits a hole, he's dragging guys for 8-10 yards. It doesn't matter who's hitting him. But if you can get him to kind of stop at the line of scrimmage and like pitter-patter his feet, try to find a hole, then that's when you can really kind of subdue his effect on the game, because there's no such thing as absolutely shutting him out. He's going to get some yardage regardless, just because of the beast that he is. But if you can get him to stop his feet, that's proven to be an effective strategy for him. And then, you know, their wide receivers aren't anything too special. Treylon Burks, the wide receiver who the Titans took with the pick that the Eagles sent to them for AJ Brown, he is actually starting to come on late. He had a turf toe injury where he was on IR, but now he's back and he looks pretty good. You know, he's making big plays down the field, and he's looking to provide what AJ Brown provided for them last year. But he's quite not there. He's not there yet. So the offense in general, if you could stop Derrick Henry, you're more than likely going to stop them from scoring a bunch of points. So I think that is going to be a crucial aspect of the game. Their defense isn't something that necessarily scares me. They're going to scheme very well. Obviously, like I mentioned, with Mike Vrabel, a defensive coach, you know, from that New England tree, great player in his own right. They are going to scheme. They're going to have the best scheme possible to beat the Eagles. And I trust Nick Sirianni to build a scheme as well to beat the Titans. So I think it's really going to be interesting. I think the Eagles are definitely going to score in this game. And it's going to come down to whether Derrick Henry can run the ball and keep the clock bleeding and score on their own right. But biggest storyline, I think, in this game has got to be just the A.J. Brown revenge game. It seemed really like things did not end well in Tennessee. They didn't want to pay him the money, which makes sense. They are paying Derrick Henry a ridiculous amount of money. They were playing Ryan Tannehill a ridiculous amount of money. They were paying a lot of guys on the defense a lot of money. So, you know, it turned out that A.J. Brown turned out to be an expendable asset. And we're seeing this year that A.J. Brown is far from that. However, he is going to be up and ready for this game. I expect Hurts to feed A.J. Brown early and often in this one. It's a home game, so it's not like he's on the road. He's in home. He's in his own environment. And he's doing this against a team that he feels did them dirty. Yeah, I'm taking the overs on A.J. Brown's props this weekend, no doubt about it. But other than that, this is going to be a great test for the Birds. It's going to be a great test to see how they can stand up against a really good AFC team and how they want to respond going forward. Because you look at the rest of the schedule for the Eagles, after this game, you know, there's only a few games that really, you know, quote unquote, scare you, maybe. You got the Titans this week, and then after this week, you go to the Meadowlands, which, you know, should be a relative. Eagles should be favored in that one. Then you go to Chicago. The Eagles should be favored in that one. And then you have the Christmas Eve matchup against the Dallas Cowboys, the Saturday game. That is the big game of the year. And then after that, you finish the year out with two home games, one first against the Saints, which you could probably going to be favored in, and then the last game of the year against the Giants, which you're probably going to be favored in as well. I do think there's potential to maybe lose one of those Giants games. The Eagles traditionally play well against the Giants, but the divisional games can be very unpredictable, and Brian Daboll has been a phenomenal coach. So, you know, I think one of those games you got to circle. The Dallas game, you obviously got to circle. And then it's this Titans game. So this is really going to be an interesting watch. I can't wait to see how it kind of plays out in terms of early in the game, who can be successful with what. But overall, I think the Eagles should be favored, and I think they will end up getting the victory in this one. All right, now to finish off the pod, I did want to talk about the NFL standings and just kind of give an update on that as we enter week 12. Crazy that we're already here, but we are here nonetheless. So let's kind of look at, first off, the playoff standings in the National Football Conference, the NFC, and see how that breaks out. We have no tiebreakers right now, which is a good thing. But we actually have all four NFC East teams currently in the playoff field. Yes, you heard me correctly. One of the divisions last year, which everyone was making fun of, which how bad they were and all this jazz last year, 2 years ago, all four teams in the NFC East are currently in the playoff field, which is absolutely ridiculous. Obviously, you got the Eagles at 10-1, holding down that one seed. And then you got the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Commanders taking every wild card spot up from there. The Cowboys at 8-3 in the 5, the Giants at 7-4 in the 6, and the Washington Commanders at 7-5 in the 7 seed. Just absolutely ridiculous and, you know, well-deserved. They've all been playing well. At the 2 seed, you have the Minnesota Vikings, obviously a big win on Thanksgiving over the New England Patriots. Then you have the San Francisco 49ers, who are currently leading the division out west in the NFC West. They're going to be a very, very good team down the stretch, guys. I'm really, really nervous about San Francisco. And then just to round it out, we have Tampa Bay, who currently is under 500 at 5-6, but they're the division leader, courtesy to that god-awful division. So they are currently sitting in a playoff spot, ready to host a playoff game. So talking about the 49ers, bringing it back, I think that the 49ers and the Eagles are going to be the two teams left standing in the NFC Championship game, hopefully at the link. But just the way the 49ers are playing right now, the weapons they have offensively, the way the defense is playing, the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo is now their starting quarterback instead of Trey Lance, I think they are set up to make a run into the playoffs, deep into the playoffs this year, especially with the addition of Christian McCaffrey. I mean, you already had Debo Samuel, George Kittle, and Brandon Ayuk. Now you add Christian McCaffrey to that, just absolutely makes them just a spark plug, a powder keg type of offense that can explode at any point. But other than that, you talk about three other teams in the NFC East occupying the wild card spots. Just out of the wild card picture, you have the Seattle Seahawks at 6-5, only a half game back of the Commanders. And then you have the Atlanta Falcons sitting at 5-7 and the 9 seed, and then the Detroit Lions at 4-7 in the 10 seed. The only reason the Detroit Lions are still in it is because they're only one game back of the Tampa Bay. Or no, they're not in that division. Excuse me. The only reason the Falcons are still in it at 5-7 is they are only a half game behind the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the division lead. Tell me if you saw that coming in week 12. The Lions are still just kind of hanging around at 4-7, and then kind of those teams outside of that, Green Bay Packers, Arizona Cardinals, Carolina Panthers, the New Orleans Saints, the Los Angeles Rams, and the Chicago Bears are all pretty much out of it. They all have 8-plus losses, so they're probably not going to make it. So we kind of have a pack of 10, and more realistically, kind of just a pack of 9 that we expect to be there in the 7-man field. So pretty cut and dry in the NFC right now. A lot of, some separation, not a ton of tie breaks. Now we get to the AFC here, and this is where we have a ton of tie breaks, all this jazz to really kind of break down what's going on here. So let's start off at the top with the Kansas City Chiefs. They're currently 9-2, so they're in the one seed. I think Kansas City's going to be there at the end of it. Who they face, we'll see. But then you have the Miami Dolphins in the 2 seed at 8-3. And then they also have the same record as the Buffalo Bills. They're obviously in the same division. However, the wins tie break over Buffalo based on head-to-head win percentage. Obviously, the Dolphins beat them, so they have the head-to-head matchup win percentage, obviously, like I just said. So they will be in the 2 seed. That leaves the Buffalo Bills in the 5 seed. Then, like I mentioned, you have the Tennessee Titans currently leading the AFC South. They are in the division, but they are in the 3 seed over the 4 seed Baltimore Raven, even though they have the same record based on win percentage in conference games. So that's what their tiebreaker breaks out to be. That's why they're 3. Baltimore is actually number 4 in this. They are leading the AFC East? AFC, what is this? AFC North, my fault. They're leading the AFC North, even though they have the same record as the Cincinnati Bengals, because of head-to-head win percentage. They beat them this year. And then that brings us to the wild card, like I mentioned, the Buffalo Bills at 8-3 in the 5 seed, the Bengals at 7-4 in the 6 seed, and then the New York Jets, after a win this week against the Bears, are in the 7 seed. And the only reason the Bengals are ahead of the Jets in the 6-7 is because of head-to-head win percentage for the Bengals. And then you have a couple teams on the outside looking in, the New England Patriots at 6-5, and then the Los Angeles Chargers at 6-5 are both right there, both one game back of a playoff spot. And then after that, it's kind of, you know, not really. I mean, the Jaguars are 4-7, the Colts are 4-7-1, but they're pretty much all out of it at this point. So you pretty much have nine team fields in each conference. You have a couple teams who can really make some noise. It'll be a little bit more interesting in the AFC, mainly just because those two teams are above 500. And in the NFC, you have the Falcons and the Lions, which are obviously below 500. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see. There's going to be a lot of shuffling in the AFC, mainly because the teams are pretty much separated by two games that are in the playoff field. Even the Jets are 7-4 and the Chiefs are 9-2. There's only two games ahead of them. So it's going to be a little bit more spread out in the NFC. I think a little bit more clumped up in the AFC. But, you know, like I said, there's still plenty of football left to play. Still plenty of time to decide things. So you know we're going to be keeping track of it. All right, everyone, that is going to do it for the show today. Once again, check the description below for all of our social media handles. You can see the show's account right here on YouTube. Feel free to shoot us any questions. We'll do some mailbags on the show if we get any questions from you guys. Social media, YouTube comments, whatever you want. Send us questions. We'll be sure to get them in on the show. Thank you guys once again for tuning in, and we can't wait to see you back here again next time.